I be playing.
Hello and welcome again to Skybox here on 90.7 The Capstone. It's homecoming Saturday here at the University of Alabama, and the Crimson Tide faces off against those Razorbacks from Arkansas later today at Bryant-Denny Stadium. We'll talk about that game and much more as we get going here on a big day for college football. Your fearless co-hosts for this show are Dr. George Brown, Executive Director of University Recreation, Dr. Adam Sterrett, Assistant Vice President for Student Affairs, and myself, Mark Mayfield, Editorial Advisor and Associate Director of the Office of Student Media. We've got a couple of great guests in the studio with us today, including Rosalind Moore as our guest college football picker, and she'll also give us the details on homecoming. Rosalind is Director of Student Involvement and Advisor to The Source, the home of student organizations at UA, and as such, she'll be at the center, or is at the center, of all the planning that went into this homecoming weekend and making it a great success. A little later today, we got former Alabama football great Leroy Cook in studio with us. Leroy is a two-time All-American defensive end for the Crimson Tide in the 1970s. I might add he was SEC Player of the Year in 1975 and defensive MVP of the Orange Bowl that year. He's in every list there is among Alabama's first-team all-time greats, and we'll talk about that with him a little later. It's a great pleasure to have Rosalind and Leroy with us today, and we'll be joining them in a few minutes. So let's get this party started. George and Adam, here we are again.
Another day.
Hey, let me ask you guys something. If 6 weeks into the season, I would have told you that the games that could impact the national semifinals and the college football playoffs would involve Cal and Utah, Northwestern and Michigan, what would you say?
That would be surprising. I would say that maybe it's, 1956 or the future, maybe? One of the two, right? Cal and Utah. That being a big game, the Michigan-Northwestern game, has that ever been a big game?
Maybe in some circles up in Chicago North it would be, but not on a national landscape. And I'm not even sure that if we backed up 6 weeks ago, we'd have thought this was a big game.
No.
So it just tells you how dynamic and really ultimately how much parity. I mean, we've been saying this all year, but here we have, I think, some great games on the slate, certainly a couple of SEC games, the Georgia-Tennessee game. I mean, which direction is the Bulldogs and the Vols?
Yeah.
Clearly the Vols have to get a win in Knoxville.
They have to. Georgia, though, Mark Richt, after last week, we'll talk about it later, I guess, but he's under some serious hot seats here also, I think.
But he's such a nice guy.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Nice guy.
He's a good man.
You know, Feinbaum showed him such love, both pre-Alabama game and post, that I think, you know, you can't help but like this guy. And clearly he has done great success there, but he needs a win today. And it's going to be tough in the hostile environment of Knoxville today. What about tonight in the SEC with Florida at Missouri? I see trouble for the Gators.
I spent a lot of time thinking about that game, too. Yep. Far more time than I'd like to.
Yeah.
Thinking about either one of those teams. But, you know, that Florida team hasn't been very good when you think about it. But they're undefeated. They're rising up the ranks. And they had a big win last week. But they eked out the previous three games. None of the other three games were blowouts. And so that could be a trap. But look at who Missouri has played as well. They haven't exactly been lighting up the opponents with their 9-6 win over Connecticut, I think, a few weeks ago. So
no, it's true. It's going to be interesting, though. Missouri's got a good defense, but like you said, it's not against some great teams.
Right.
You know,
I think Missouri may have found a quarterback, though.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
I'm not sure if Matty Malt gets out of whatever doghouse he's in with Gary Pinkle now. I think he's clearly not going to start for at least a few more weeks because of whatever undisclosed disciplinary reasons.
But he may not be the guy moving forward way.
He may not
absolutely.
Be. He may not be. Cal and Utah is the featured game tonight, game day night for ESPN. And that could be interesting, but people are buying into the whole idea of of Utah. I guess tonight we'll find out.
Yeah, and I agree with you. 6 weeks ago, you wouldn't have guessed about this. But also 6 weeks from now, are we going to be talking about either Cal or Utah or neither, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I think Utah probably, Cal probably not. But who knows in this college football year? Yeah. Nothing's for sure.
Well, we've got more to talk about as we get to our Fearless Picks a little bit later in the show, but that's a little look at what the nation's offering today. But here on campus, most importantly on the Capstone, it's homecoming. And with the parade set for 1 p.m. and the Crimson Tide's game with Arkansas tonight at 6, there's no one better to discuss all the pageantry of homecoming with us than Rosalind Moore. Rosalind's the Director of Student Involvement at the University and the Advisor to the Source, and she's kindly agreed to serve as our Fearless Guest Picker on the show today. Roz, it's great to have you with us.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
I have had a chance to gaze at Roz's picks ahead of time, and we've redefined Fearless on the show.
Oh, there we go.
That's good.
Sometimes we need a lesson in Fearless.
There's no doubt about it. I don't think any of us were too fearless last week.
No, and we'll talk about our recap in a little bit. But Rosalind, again, thanks. And we're going to talk a little bit about homecoming and all the cool things going on. But let's get right into the games. We've got a good slate. We've got LSU at South Carolina in Baton Rouge now. We've had a twist of fate with the obvious terrible storms there, and we've got the Bengals at home now against South Carolina. Excuse me. What do you think? LSU and South Carolina?
So I'm going to go with LSU. I mean, they're at home, Death Valley, and they've been playing really well, and who can stop Fortnite? I'd like to know.
I don't think anybody on the Gamecocks can.
That's a great
Steve
point.
Spurrier might be able to trip him on the sidelines, maybe. I don't know.
Maybe he can use the visor or something to trip him.
Here's another one of those games, Illinois and Iowa. Big Ten matchup. Illinois is surprising. Who do you have in that one?
I've got Iowa. I think they've been playing solid, and I have a soft spot in my heart for places I've never been.
Okay.
There we go.
That's a good reason.
That may be the best
That's
reason.
That's a good reason. I like
They have great cornfields.
Yeah,
I actually lived a year in Des Moines, so I know all about that. It's cold. That's what I'll say.
There you go.
We talked a little bit at the intro about this one, Rosalind. Georgia is going to Knoxville for an afternoon game on ESPN. This is a tough one, but what do you think?
Well, the inside of me just can't go for Tennessee. That color is just so obnoxious that I had to go for UGA, but I also feel like, Rick, he wants the paycheck, and he's got to make a win. So I'm going for him just so he can feed his kids. You know?
That's a good point.
Like, I think it's important.
Even nice guys got to feed
their kids, right?
He's a good man. So there we go. He needs to feed his kids.
We have Georgia under the Self-Preservation Act. There we go.
Exactly.
Northwestern and Michigan up in Ann Arbor. Wow. Big Ten Network game. What do you think?
Well, being a woman, I know that the Wolverines we're talking about is not Wolverine from the movie, though he's cute. But I would have to go with Michigan because I think that they just have a more solid team. And I have an old GA that graduated from Northwestern, and I just want to make her mad by picking the other one.
That's good.
The scientific process at
it
work.
Is. Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sounds like she deserves it.
That's college football. That's what it's about.
It's really good.
Yeah.
Wisconsin at Nebraska.
So I've been to Nebraska's campus, and I thought it was very much like the University of Alabama in size. Mm-hmm. And they actually have a big elephant on their campus. Oh. And I don't know. I've always just enjoyed them, and I think that they're a good, solid team in their division. And so I'm going with Nebraska.
I think that's fearless.
That is a fearless pick.
Yep.
I know.
That's fearless.
The red and white team will win that day for sure.
There we go.
I tell you what, Nebraska needs that win.
They need it.
It's another coach that's going to find himself out of a job without
I like underdogs.
It's good.
good. Yeah, I think Wisconsin is a slight favorite in that game last year.
They are.
Very slight. We'll go right to the game this evening here in the stadium at Bryant-Denny, Arkansas at Alabama. See any problems for the Tide?
I do not. I think that they eliminated some of those worries last week, and I believe that we will not lose on our homecoming.
Yeah, that's generally not a good thing to lose on your homecoming. I agree. This is intriguing to me. Oklahoma State travels to the craziness of Morgantown, West Virginia on a Saturday night. Who do you like there?
I like Oklahoma State.
Ooh.
There
we go.
That's fearless too, Roger.
I know.
I agree.
But I think that I think this is a great game, guys. I mean, I
one of the better games of the day, really.
Yeah, it really is.
Absolutely.
I hate that it's up against our game because it'll be hard to watch. But Florida and Missouri.
I am going with Florida. I think they've been playing slightly solid. Solid might be too strong of a word, but I think they can take Mizzou.
You think they're for real?
I think they can take it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they're ready. I think they had such an embarrassing season last year. They have no choice but to be good this year.
Yeah, a lot
they want to keep their
a lot
fans.
Of pride with the Gators. Yeah. That's
yeah.
true. That's
yeah.
a good point. TCU, this is her pick, by the way, guys. This is
Special
TCU and Kansas State. It's on our big board. I think she wisely grabbed it. Texas Christian is in Manhattan, the Little Apple, against Kansas State. What do you think?
So, I've always paid attention to K-State after they had that really solid run that year and everybody mm-hmm. thought they were going to make it, mm-hmm. and they didn't. But I pick TCU because I just can't get past a group that – a team that puts up the numbers that they put up. I mean, they practically put up basketball scores, and I feel like you kind of got to go with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They have a strong offense.
They're yep. strong.
Can't argue that.
We've got a group here. I think we've talked about TCU a little bit before. The jury's still out with you guys a little bit.
I know. I'm waiting for them to stub their toe and not be able to pull it off. And I thought they were going to do it against Texas Tech the other week, and they almost
I
did.
But
Magic was on their side. So we'll see in little Manhattan.
Yep.
Tonight, ABC, we've got the Hurricane invading Tallahassee, heading north and playing what is a big rivalry game for both these schools. Over the years, it may have had higher impact, but Miami is at Florida State. Who do you like there?
I just like Miami better. I just want them to win.
There we go. I see I Adam over there.
I apologize.
You're going with Luther Campbell, aren't you?
I'm looking.
I think that's fearless.
We're on radio, but I'm looking at Mark Mayfield right now. And both our jaws went.
Right. This is fearless. This
an
is
awkward
the
moment in the studio.
Yeah, this is
that
great.
Is fearless.
Wow.
Wait, this is great.
That's what we're here for.
So the U's back, Roslyn. You think, yeah,
it's
all right.
I want them to be back.
I'm going to predict one way or another we'll be talking about Roz's picks.
Yeah, oh, we shall. Oh, we shall.
We may be bowing to you. The late night game day event, of course, is out west in Salt Lake City. Cal is visiting Utah. Playoff implications here. Both these teams go in undefeated. What do you think?
I think Cal goes in with a chip on their shoulder and they get it done.
Whoa, another fearless pick.
The mic was dropped.
Right, it was. Rosalind is out the door. She has dropped it and she's moved on. Rosalind, please come back. Please come back to the studio. We are not done yet. Your segment is not over.
I told you guys. Be prepared.
I know. You
those
saw them. I didn't know these were coming.
Incredibly fearless picks.
They are.
I would say, as far as guest pickers go, the most fearless we've ever had.
Absolutely.
Yes. Yes.
Absolutely.
Which is great.
And goes without saying.
No question.
She's far more fearless than three of us. It goes without saying.
Combined.
Right.
Yes. Yes.
No question.
Absolutely. Hey, Rosalind, there is so much that's gone on this past week on campus, and I know Rosalind and I are kindred spirits in that she does so many things with the vast number of source organizations and homecoming. Tell us a little bit about what we've seen on campus and what culminates today on our campus with regard to homecoming.
Absolutely. So we kicked off the week on Sunday with a Crimson kickoff benefit flag football game, and all the proceeds, that's actually a charity event, all the proceeds to that go to the Caring for Camo organization. And so we had about 20 teams out, and they were definitely playing as if they were, you know, ready for a national championship win.
Ready for the big board.
Yeah. Exactly, all in the name of Caring for Camo. And so that kicked off the week on Sunday, and throughout the week we've had several other events, such as the pomping, which, you know, you all can actually see that today. Mm-hmm. Walk around the stadium, you'll see a lot of the lawn decorations that the groups have done. And then there's also been some athletic events. Basketball was particularly exciting.
We had that in the rec center, the 3-on-3 tournament.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We had just an injury or two, but
I heard.
You know, they were really scrapping at it. And so we had basketball, we had dodgeball on Wednesday night. Thursday night was the choreography competition, and then Friday was the step show and bonfire. And so we've had a really good time. Bonfire's been great as usual, and just been a really active week of lots of events, lots of student organizations coming out to show their spirit and support. And we also had can formation, which was really nice as well, to kind of help out our efforts with Beat Auburn, Beat Hunger, which is a drive to raise food for the state of Alabama. And so organizations actually created sculptures with cans, and those were really nice all over the Ferguson Student Union.
It's so many things going on simultaneously, a lot of moving parts I know you're involved in, but this is sort of your nature, because tell us a little bit about the source and all the organizations that you oversee.
Absolutely. So our office oversees all of our student organizations on campus in terms of their registration and getting them connected to different resources and services. We really promote collaboration among the organizations and just activity. So our goal is to get students connected to whatever their passion is while they're here at UA. And we have 500 plus and more different varying passions on campus. And so those are always exciting. And we really are just there to support those student groups and help them connect with other students on campus.
Yeah, and I think one of the neat things, guys, this year that I saw, and Roslyn made it to a point, this is one of her strong areas of emphasis, was making homecoming reflect the source. That exactly. We have this many student organizations. Yeah. This homecoming event should be indicative of our inclusiveness in the entire campus. And Roslyn, I just think you've done a wonderful job
Thank
with
you.
That. A work in progress, but are you pleased?
Absolutely. We've had a lot of groups come out, and we've seen those numbers increase. And we've got representation from all types of student organizations and groups participating this year. Blend, one of our newer student organizations on campus, very well known, competed in dodgeball against Mallet Assembly the other night.
That's going to make the
best. That's good.
That's something no one has seen before.
So yeah, that's worth the price
of a
ticket.
We'll see more of that stuff.
Who won?
Mallet. Yeah. They killed him.
Yeah.
But their spirit was there. They were happy while they were getting beat
down. That's what it's about.
Well, there's just a lot going on, and indicative of our size of our campus. And Rosalind, you're a big part of that. Thank you so much for being here.
No, thank you.
You know, all the hard work that goes into homecoming and beyond, it's just incredible. Now we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with one of Alabama's all-time great defensive players, Leroy Cook. You're listening to Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone.
Hey, this is Will Gamble, and you're listening to 90.7 The Capstone.
Welcome back to Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone. It's a pleasure to have with us today a guy who had 200 tackles in his career for the University of Alabama, along with 15 sacks, 10 forced fumbles, and 3 blocked kicks. Quite a career. Leroy Cook earned back-to-back All-American honors during his career at Alabama, and he was named SEC Player of the Year in 1975 by the Atlanta Touchdown Club. He was also chosen a Sports Illustrated all-time Alabama team, and Bleacher Report named him one of Alabama's 50 greatest players. Leroy, thank you so much for being here today.
It's great to be here.
Yeah. Hey, it's great to have you, Leroy. And having you here, I think we all went back and sort of looking back over the 1970s, and you were so dominant out there. You think it's does it seem like yesterday? Does it seem like it's been that long?
Well, the body tells me it's been that long, but it's been great. You know, back then we had probably the best recruiting class of '72, and if you look back on the records that those teams that we established back then, that particular class of Letterman. You know, we won at SEC every year, and then we're blessed with a national champion in 73.
Right.
So the recruiting class of 72 was very strong, and we all stayed together, and the record points out to what we were able to accomplish.
Yeah. Some of you guys I know were back, you know, the 75 team was honored earlier this year, I think, at the La Monroe game. The Bama-La Monroe game with a reunion, and I know quite a few of you, too, were at the Nick at Noon luncheon on Friday. So you guys do keep in touch, don't you?
A few of us do, yeah. It's brotherhood. You live with these guys for the 4 years you're here, and you you're just so close to them, and you build that bondage year after year. So there's quite a few of us that really stay together.
Yeah. I always wondered, you know, do you as a former player, particularly one as good as you were, it's kind of like being an airline pilot sitting back and coach, and somebody else is piloting the plane now because you're not the pilot anymore. You feel like that sometimes as a former player. You see the particularly the defensive line, and you just want to jump out there and get on the field again and show them how to do it. You know.
Well, I don't know if I'd be able to. But the guys now, the program, the game itself has changed, and. You just see the difference in the size and the speed of the game nowadays versus what we were. But you still want to get out there one more time, just one more lick, especially 2 weeks ago when I was down on the field with the coin toss. And I looked up at the stadium, and it was just, I was just in awe at the place.
Yeah.
But, yeah, one more time, one more lick. That'd be fun.
Yeah, and the stadium itself is so much larger, Bryant Denny, so much larger than it was in the 70s, which it seated about 59,000, 60,000 when you were playing.
That's right. Yeah. And now you just look at it, it's just wonderful. As a player, I just can't imagine what it would be like playing in front of 100,000 people like that. To me, it would be showtime.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Just get out there and show out and and play the best you can and do like Alabama football is supposed to do. You go out there and you beat him and beat him and beat him, and then you control it. And that's what Coach Bryant and the coaching staff told us back in our day. Average guy, if you got average talent, but you beat him and beat him for three quarters, you own him by the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. And that's when you see the symbols now when we hold up four fingers. That was created when our group came in. And that was some of the encouragement Coach Bryant did for us. You beat him up for three quarters, and he had so many players that we could throw out there in the game. By the fourth quarter, he's wore down.
Yeah.
So then you just control the game at that at that point.
So really, this notion now, I think young fans out there hear Coach Saban and you have to go out and dominate your opponent, but that's nothing new for here, is it?
Really? That's nothing new. Absolutely not. We've had so many great players and teams prior to this era, but, you know, it's Alabama, and we're just so accustomed to winning, and our expectations are very high. It's set, your goals are set high, and that's you just want to go for it. And other teams – they can easily get motivated to play Alabama. But for Alabama player, as a player, it's hard to stay up. I mean, week after week after week, because sometimes you play in a nobody. But it's very easy for the opponent to get so high on a game because they know they want to upset Alabama because they've accomplished something.
Right.
And with us, back in my day, it was just another game. Here we go again, you know. You just beat them up. Go out there and beat them up and have fun.
Leroy, talk to us a little bit. You played under Coach Dude Hennessy and Ken Donahue, and you were talking to us earlier off the air about technique and what set you apart in being able to make such an impact on the quarterback and disrupt the offense. Talk a little bit about some of that with technique and how they basically turned you loose.
Well, that came about after the 73 Sugar Bowl with Notre Dame, beat us 24-23. And our outside position wasn't really made to attack from that point of view and from the standing of the defensive ends. So the following year, Coach Donahue and Coach Hennessy changed the defensive end forms, positions to and our stance and techniques to be more aggressive from the outside because we had excellent linebackers and excellent defensive linemen to control the center, so our pressure was coming from the outside. And by them changing our position and turning us loose is what they kind of said, go, just turn him loose, let him go. And that fell right into my ability to chase the football because they kept saying, that's your ball, go get it. So, and it was just being aggressive. Once you become aggressive, and once you control that opponent's mind, or you control his body. And back then, you could kind of get away with some elbows to the head and a little bit of slapping here and slapping there. But that was a good philosophy to have. You control his mind, get in his mind. He's frustrated, so you got him in. Just
that,
control.
That first step is everything,
that
isn't
first
it?
First step. You hit him and get his attention.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times, first play of the game, we didn't even worry about where the ball went. You just wanted to hit him and get his attention. And once you got him, you got him. You can control him.
I had to believe that's still true today.
Yeah,
right?
I think so.
Probably more flags these days.
Well, okay, yeah, so they see a few more things.
Yeah,
now.
Right.
Yeah. What? Take us back. What game stands out? I know there's a lot of games. That era that you played in was just win after win, and Coach Bryant, everything that went on there. But take us back to a couple of games that really stick out for you that you remember most vividly in your career.
Probably Mississippi State. We were over in Starkville, and it was such a hot, muggy night. And I think I had lost 20-some-odd pounds of fluid during that game. I had to go to the infirmary when I got back here to get fluids. But that was a very demanding. And back in those days, I think I made around 22 tackles or something like that. But they had a rule of 60-48, I want to say, that the home team could dress out 60 players and the traveling team was 48. They only did that for 1 year. So that kind of enabled players to play longer in the game. And I think it was an experimental or something, but they only did it for 1 year, and then they saw that, you know, that wasn't a good thing to do or whatever. But that was a wearing out night. And then, of course, Missouri, my senior year, up in Birmingham, we had practice against a formation that we thought they were going to run. And we had the coaches had put in a brand-new defense that we were still learning and weren't sure of if it was going to work against their formation. But Tony Galbraith was the running back, and they came out with a different formation, and it just took us a first half to make the adjustment and go back to our base defense. When once we did that, well, we shut them down, but they had already gained, I think, a 20-point lead, and the offense sputtered all night long. So I think the final score was 20-7. So the comeback, you know, we just couldn't get the offense clicking. Mm-hmm. Defense stopped them, but just couldn't make the comeback.
Yeah, that was I was at that game. Mm-hmm. I watched that. That was obviously a surprise that Bama lost that game. Although Missouri was a good football team back then too. I mean, they're back to a pretty good program now, but back then they were really a good program.
Right.
And,
what
about some of the players you know, you played with and sort of comrades in battle out there that you you know, that both inspired you and that you enjoyed playing with, particularly on the defense and your defensive teammates out there? Any of them particularly stand out now? I'm sure all of them do, really. But
well, yeah, because we all became so close friends and the bond that was put together and established back in them days. But if you had somebody like Wayne Rose that was cornerback behind you, he was all SEC, you know. If somebody did get around or behind me, you know, Wayne's there to pick up my slack.
Right.
So.
Right.
Woodrow Lowe, Howard at tackles, Charlie Hanna, Connolly Duncan, and Ronnie Robertson. I mean, we had a group of guys that was just very unique. A lot of them weren't great athletes, but everybody knew their assignment. Everybody knew how to be where to be.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just a unit. And you could take, say, like Alan Pizzitola. He was a walk-on. And he earned a scholarship and became our strong safety.
I know Alan. Yeah.
And Alan was a headhunter for, you know, a walk-on guy. So we had great guys that came together as a unit. And that's what it took for us to gel together. The other ends, you had at one time Mike DeBose and Paul Harris and Dick Turpin. It was just a group of guys that, there again, back when we played, Coach Bryant really liked playing everybody. And there'd be some games that first string, just because you're a first string starter, you might play the first series, then the second team would be in the game.
Yeah.
So he just believed in everybody's going to play, and we're going to beat you and beat you and wear you down. And there again, like I said, fourth quarter come around, you control the game then.
Yeah. Well, what about today in terms of the team now? And you're around them some. I know you don't make it to all the games, but in what you see, and certainly you're close to the program, what do you think of the team this year maybe in terms of their outlook? And what are your thoughts on this year and this team?
Well, it was very heartbreaking to lose to Ole Miss. You know, even if you had five turnovers and still that close to winning a game, you know, that tells you really Ole Miss doesn't have that much, I don't think. And just unfortunate that the ball didn't bounce our way, but that's the game of football. So I'm so impressed with the defense because I'm a defensive man myself. And I always have thought that wins national championship. So I take more pride in watching the defense, how they accomplish what they do. And the guys now is just so humongous. it's unreal, the speed of the guys, you know. But the coaching staff is working with these guys. It must be incredible to be a player now versus back in my day, because everything has just so changed. And the game's wide open.
You know, what do you think about this? Hurry up, no huddle, the speed of the game.
I would love it as a player. You know, one thing back in my day is conditioning. We were conditioned, and the faster the game, to me, you speed up everything. So it's just more of a contact sport. If you were in condition shape, and I know these guys now are so humongous, but I would have loved it. Me personally, because I just feel like I could get out there and run with them and compete with any of them back in my day.
We've talked a little bit about Coach Bryant, and you mentioned right before we went on air listening to Coach Saban on Friday at lunch and being motivated by him. What are some of the similarities and differences that you notice in listening to Coach Saban talk and some of the things that you experienced with Coach Bryant?
First thing I could say would be the discipline. Mm-hmm. I love that aspect of it, because that starts first. Right. Once you have that, everything else, you can order and line it up. And I love that when Coach Saban came aboard, the first thing I heard about him, I said, oh, yeah, now we're in the right direction. And that's what players demand. I mean, they want it. They expect it. And even we did back in our day, it was just something that made our group come together. And to be successful, you got to have it.
Yeah, that's, you know, I think on the way over here you had mentioned the standing out at the stadium now and the I think you talked about it a little earlier on the show here, but standing in the stadium now, which you did at the La Monroe game, and that huge crowd and 100,000 and the fact that it is a program very much like in terms of discipline, like Coach Bryant's program, how much would you like to just jump out there and do it? I mean, get out there with them.
These guys are so blessed to be here. Mm. I mean, you know, the expectations are very high coming here. You know, you got the opportunity and the chance to be the best. And when I put on my national championship rings, that's what you set out. I mean, Alabama's going to be there.
And yeah.
It's very disappointing when you don't reach that goal, but you got the opportunity. And any recruit that would not come to Alabama, I don't understand why, but you definitely got the chance to step on up to the plate and be part of a tremendous program.
Yeah, yeah. And you were part of that. I mean, that's the thing. I think with the success under Coach Bryant and the success with Coach Saban now, and I know Alabama's had years with other coaches when it's been sort of down years for this program, but that sort of really does tie you into the current program, doesn't it? The success of Coach Bryant's era and Coach Saban so far.
I think so. Same thing with Coach Stallings' era.
Yeah, you Coach know, Stallings' era.
He was another fine example of what Alabama's about. And it starts with being disciplined, because it just – somebody's got to be the leader. And like Coach Saban says, once he takes control, they feed off of him. And once you get another leader, another captain, senior players, everybody feeds off of it. And you don't want to say it's a shark frenzy, but in a way it's what it does, because back in our day, when I made big plays, my teammates were – they could tell. They knew. All they had to do was get in line. Because the encouragement was there. Yeah. And if it didn't work, you started all over. I mean, you just got better, better, better.
Yeah. Well, what do you think today with Arkansas? How will they look, you think?
I personally hadn't been able to see Arkansas play much, but they were tough last year.
Big boys,
big guys. Yeah. Here again, tremendous guys. So if our defense, which there again I believe, can stop their run, I see us kind of controlling the game, the line of scrimmage, similar to what we did with Georgia. You know, don't give up the long ball. And turnovers, cannot have turnovers. That was a big plus with us back in our day. We didn't have that many turnovers. We ran the wishbone. So we were moving the ball, pitching it, and so forth a bunch. And turnovers can be a big turning point, big factor in the game.
Yeah, you know, Mark, I watch the games, and I watch it kind of the way Leroy does. I look at those defensive ends, those guys putting pressure, those hands up, knocking balls down. Yeah. And that just makes our secondary so much better. It all starts right there with that first push.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It does. When we're dominant the team, that's
the thing I look for in the first 5 minutes. Are we controlling the point of attack, getting those mitts up, knocking balls down, forcing them to do things they don't want to do? I think the game's designed for Leroy.
Yeah, that was his game. No doubt.
Suit him up.
Yeah, let's go. Absolutely, absolutely.
Leroy, thank you so much for spending some time with us today. It's an honor to have you on the show. Now let's take a quick break, and we'll be back to discuss how we all did on our Fearless Picks last week and see who we're rolling with today in the games this afternoon and this evening. You're listening to Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone. Thanks again, Leroy, so much. Thanks for being here.
I appreciate it, guys. Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone. Well, looks like we all three tied on our picks last week. George, what do you have for us?
Yeah, we had Christmas in October. Everybody got ties.
Yeah.
Yeah. 12-4 across the board. You know, I think universally we blew it with Ole Miss and Florida. We all had Ole Miss. We had Tennessee licking their wounds, but no, they've not yet licked their wounds. And I guess where we differed, you know, Mark, you came through – well, actually, you missed West Virginia against Oklahoma, but you came up big in the Clemson game. Yep. Adam and I were going all in with the Golden Domers, and we missed it. So, again, overall, 68-24. I have a one-game lead over Adam and a three-game lead over Mark at 65-27. Adam, you're at 67-25.
And we all missed UCLA, too, right? So
we did.
Yeah. We all started believing
sure
in
it. We started buying into it.
And that was the upset of the week.
Yep. I don't see anybody that prepares.
I was all in on Josh Rosen and everything good about. And boy, they've had a tough week with Miles Jack now declaring for the NFL with the injury. And
it took me a few weeks to believe in them, and right when I did, they tanked. Right?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I think that throughout the day we had good. We had Alabama, and I think we came up really looking good on that one, didn't
absolutely.
We?
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, I mean,
we did. We were confident on that.
Well,
I don't think anybody picked the blowout though.
No, we didn't.
It was a complete domination.
Yeah, I don't want to come off prophetic here, but I never would have thought we. And you know what? Even 5-10 minutes into the game, I was worried about my pick and worried about Alabama in general. But something just clicked, and with Alabama perhaps, but maybe with Georgia too on the negative side.
It's true. Yeah, they were the Georgia we thought they might be in big games.
Absolutely.
I mean,
you know, and as we were talking about Mark Richt, earlier. I mean, that's
a nice guy.
Yeah, he's a nice guy. As a coach, he's a nice guy.
Yeah. Adam, your Ohio State Bucks, they got a scare, didn't they?
They got another scare, really. It's somebody who's watched most of every game out of them this year. They are continuing to struggle, and I think I sent out an article, or maybe we talked about it last week, because I alluded to earlier that they look like the Florida State team from last year who came out after national championship run and just couldn't get motivated to play lesser opponents.
Right.
And that's what they look at. If you remember previous guest picker Kim Sterrett, if you want to witness something, witness her yelling at the TV when the Buckeyes are playing like that. It's a sight to behold, let me tell you.
Well, you know, I think we get a chance to ask the question, is Indiana for real?
Absolutely.
Now, going forward, teams that have these near successes with Ohio State, what does it mean projecting forward?
Right.
Mark, the Mississippi State-Texas A&M game, does this concern you more, that Texas A&M style and what they can bring next week? Not looking ahead past Arkansas.
It does. Also, Bama going out there. I mean, that really concerns me, because this is a team with Texas A&M that's always had an offense. I mean, last year I kind of look at that as a fluke game where Bama just blew them out. But you look at every other game recently, and they've been very close. And I think but now they have a defense, and that's what worries me more than anything, that it's not just a fact of where you outscore them anymore. They can hold the score down a little bit. So, yeah, we'll have a lot to talk about next week on that.
Yeah.
Yeah, a good point. The difference in A&M and Auburn right now is Chavis has clearly got that defense playing in a way that Muschamp has not been able to get.
Absolutely.
So, Well, I guess that's enough with this week's picks. Time for the show, huh?
Right.
Are we ready for fearless? Are you ready to be fearless? Rosalind Moore certainly was. Rosalind
she is, was. Right. I don't know.
I don't know if we can top that.
I don't know if we can be that fearless. I don't know if we can ever be that fearless.
Right now, it's just us compared to dead air, the two options. So I think I'll take us doing our picks, right?
Right.
But after Rosalind, it's tough. It's tough to call ourselves fearless pickers right now.
Well, we can only try.
We can do nothing but trot on, right?
LSU is home now in what was an away game, but in Baton Rouge due to the events of the recent flooding in Columbia and all across the state of California. Does it matter?
I don't think it matters, but if anybody even flirted with it mattering, it's over now. You know, the article's about how nice it is for LSU to play the USC song at halftime or a joke, because there's nothing nice about this for USC going into Baton Rouge.
Not at all. LSU's got that one.
Double digits, probably.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep. Illinois and Iowa. I had to say, I paused on this one for a little bit. I'm taking LSU, by the way, for the record as well.
Yep.
Illinois and Iowa.
So I have to go with what strangely is a little bit of an upset here. I'm going with Illinois at Iowa. I think Iowa is going to, 4-1 versus 5-0.
Correct.
This is a pretty good game in the Big Ten. My dad is a proud Illinois alum. I've got a lot of Big Ten in my family, and I think Illinois is going to pull it out in Iowa. I think Iowa's just going to falter here.
Well, that's a bit fearless.
I would say so. What do you think,
Mark? I'm staying with the Hawkeyes. Because it's home. They are unbeaten. They're having a good year. But like I said, Illinois is having a good year. But I think the home field is a difference in that, probably by a field goal or maybe 7 points.
Yeah, I think it's low scoring. I think Kurt Friends gets another win and somehow manages to do Houdiniacs being up there at Iowa. But I do think they're the better team. And as much as I think Illinois is playing maybe a slightly above what we would think with all their controversy with coaching, I think it's Iowa. Indiana and Penn State. I think this is a real opportunity for Indiana. Having said that, I'm going with Penn State. What about you, Mark?
I'm going with Indiana on that. I'm starting to believe in them a little bit. Naturally, the game they played against Ohio State, you get up for it. It's just like Bama having a target on their back. Ohio State's got a huge target on their back this year. So some of that is attributable to just being such a favorite. But I think Indiana's got a good football team, and I think they beat Penn State.
I agree that this is a tough pick. I think going to Penn State's going to be tough. I think Indiana had a long, drawn-out physical game that they had to play the full four quarters. I think there's going to be a little bit of a letdown for them. And I think it's pretty close, but I think Penn State pulls it out at the end.
Right. Now, this one made the big board, and I had to look twice to see it. But, Adam, you took it. Kent State at Toledo.
I did. You know, part of this is just me liking to talk about the Toledo Rockets, and I actually think they win pretty big in the Glass Bowl. Toledo is ranked in the top 25.
Former Bama quarterback.
While, yeah, every once in a while they sneak into the top 25, but this is even this is a little later in the season than normal. Sometimes they sneak in after three or four if a bunch of people lose, but they've got a few games here in a row that I think they can win and stick around in the top 25 for a while. So I take Toledo big over Kent State.
I'm launching with the Rockets, man.
Nice.
Had to get that in.
Nice.
But, yeah, I'm going with Toledo. I think they got a really good football team.
Yeah, I think, you know, the effects of the Arkansas game, people have dismissed Arkansas a little bit. Maybe that's diluted the win. But I think Toledo went in there, and they actually really dominated that game.
Yeah, they handled it.
They really did. So they're a good football team. I'm with you on that. Adam, Georgia Tech and Clemson. So, is this when they get off the mat?
That's a good question. As somebody who's picked Georgia Tech just every week, beating a dead horse, right? And so, and I pick against Clemson. You and I have lost on Notre Dame last week. And so I really would like to think that Clemson's this week and loses to Georgia Tech. But I think in Clemson, they're just not going to. I think Dabo's going to do some ridiculous dance, and Georgia Tech is just not going to pull it together. So I take Clemson.
Yeah, I'm with Clemson. I don't know what's happened to Georgia Tech. I don't either. Yeah, that's so mysterious. That's such a good running offense. I don't know what happened to him, but Clemson's going to beat him, and I think going to beat him by two or three touchdowns.
Yeah, I got to go the same with you guys. I echo Clemson. Clemson's on a high. I think they played really well. I think it's their game. I think they're doing fine.
A big game in the SEC here at 2:30. The Bulldogs, who may not have recovered from last week, at Tennessee. Looks like it could be raining this afternoon there in Tennessee, which may give Georgia some flashbacks. What do you have, Georgia?
Oh, gosh, I've got Georgia here. And, again, this goes back to the I've got to win. I know Butch Jones needs this win. I'm just going to line it up and say Georgia's pride is on the line and the Bulldogs persevere. I think it's going to be a field goal at the end.
Mark. I'm with Georgia. I think Georgia's going to win it. I think they'll do a little more than field goal. I think they'll win it by a touchdown or maybe 10 points. Tennessee, they're capable. They keep getting these double-digit leads and blowing them in the fourth quarter and all that kind of thing. But I think Georgia does have a good team. I think Bama just went in there and showed how strong Alabama can be when they're on. And I think Georgia comes back with Chubb this week.
I agree. I think UGA wins, and I think Tennessee may be looking for a coach. The question is going to be whether it's the middle of the season here in the next few weeks or whether it's at the end of the season. But I think it's big for Georgia. Navy at Notre Dame. This is an interesting game. You know, Notre Dame plays a lot of these type teams that are tough to defend, and so Navy goes into South Bend. The colors are very similar. Sometimes it's confusing to watch on the field. Mark, what do you have here?
Yeah, I'm going with Notre Dame in this. Their colors are similar, but I'm going with the Irish at home on it.
Yeah, same. I do think that Navy makes this interesting, maybe even for three quarters, but I think Notre Dame's talent will win out.
Yep, I agree. Notre Dame across the board. Another big Big Ten game. This is maybe a record for the amount of Big Ten games that we have on our big board so far this season. Northwestern at Michigan. We teased it a little bit earlier. Northwestern has had quite a bit of luck, or not luck, but quite a few wins recently here. Michigan, after that real poor game in the first game out of the gates, that they've really strung together some huge wins. Who do you guys have?
Well, I've got Northwestern. I'm all in on this defense.
Wow.
I know.
Wow.
I had, you know,
George.
I think the ghost of Rosalind Moore is in me now.
She's just channeling.
Go fearless.
Yeah.
I like Fitzgerald. I've said ever since the Stanford game, this defense is really good. And this is the kind of game that could be played even in the big house where this is a big – I know I'm going fearless here, but I'm going with the Northwestern.
All right.
The Huskies.
Well, I'm staying with Harbaugh. I think Michigan's – I think Michigan could – I think they are going to make a big statement now in the Big Ten. I think so – I'm going with Harbaugh.
You love
and Wolverines.
You some Harbaugh, Mark.
I do.
He likes the khakis. For a guy who doesn't wear them, you sure do appreciate
it. I know.
Absolutely.
I'm going to have to start doing that.
So I'm going to go with you in the khakis. I'm going to pick Michigan. I love the defense. I love Northwestern. To win, I would love that to happen. I just don't think it's going to happen. Another tough game here in the Big Ten. Two teams that are not very good, quite frankly, but Wisconsin and Nebraska, red and white. who is going to win this messy, messy, ugly game of two teams on the way down?
I'm going with Wisconsin. I think they're barely going to win it. I think an extra point, a field goal, a safety, something like that. I think it's going to be a pretty boring game, but I'm going with Wisconsin in this.
Yeah, Mike Riley, new ways to lose games. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Oh, gosh, last week. That was hard to watch, and I know he has Alabama connections, but, no, I'm with Wisconsin.
You know, I'm going to go Nebraska here. They have a terrible defense.
Right. You and Roslyn.
Both of these teams have lost every significant game they've played this year. I think Nebraska is going to win this one but lose a coach in the next few weeks because they're going to lose another few games. So Roslyn's guest pick of the week, yep. TCU at K-State.
I got TCU in a track meet. I think Kansas State is not the Kansas State of the last couple of years. TCU wins this one by maybe 14.
I got TCU also.
I agree. Kansas State makes it interesting for a while, but not for four quarters for sure. I think Oklahoma State at West Virginia is one of the better games of the year.
Agree.
I mean, not of the year. Sorry, of the day. I won't give him that much credit. But going into Gordon Gieland with the bow tie, who's going to win this one, Dr. Brown?
No, I'm a mountaineer by night. I mean, I think that atmosphere is electric. I think it's awful hard. I'm not convinced given the teams that Oklahoma State has played, even including Kansas State last week. I'm going with the Mountaineers.
Yeah, I'm going with the Mountaineers. I think they're going to be they sing Country Roads at the end of the
over
home victory. So I think they'll be playing it this time.
I agree, and I love the fact that you're a Mountaineer by night, George. That's my favorite quote of the year.
You learn all
so
kinds
far.
Of things at 10 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday.
University of Florida, Alachua County at Mizzou. Big game in the SEC, possibly. Is it?
Yeah, I'm going with Mizzou on
Whoa!
This.
I'm going with Mizzou. The ghost of Roslyn Moore is still in the room.
I think two things. One, I think Florida's really up on that and high on that big Ole Miss win. And secondly, I think Mizzou's got a really good defense. And I think Florida's going to revert to some extent back to that kind of boring offense that they had. I could be obviously totally wrong, but I'm going with Mizzou.
George?
I agree with Mark.
Gosh.
I have Missouri. I'm all in on Gary Pinkel. For some reason, he gets it done when the East games mean something. I'm still not convinced that Florida's slipper fits. I think they're a little bit of a Cinderella, maybe a year away. I like McElwain a lot, but I'm all Missouri on this one.
So I want to agree with every single thing that both of you gentlemen said. I think UF can get full of themselves this week. This is the first big blowout win they've had of the year. They struggled for the 3 or 4 weeks before, but I still think they win because Missouri just doesn't have enough going on. They haven't beaten anybody this year.
Talent-wise, so I can't argue.
But I would be glad to lose that pick to you two gentlemen.
We'll see. That's okay.
Last two, Mark.
All right. Hey. Rosalind went to Miami at FSU. Adam, she went against your Seminoles.
She called you out.
So what do you got now?
So I think this is close. I think this is tough for Florida State. It's always tough in a matchup like this. I think Florida State wins, but very, very, very close. I think this is a really tough game to watch in the Sterrett household, and the children may be woken up by yelling.
I'm Florida State here. I just – Al Golden is – he's not the answer there.
He's not the answer.
No, he's not. Florida State wins this game.
All right, guys, quickly, Cal at Utah. What you got?
I have Cal going into there and beating the Utes. I just don't think Utah can handle it. These two teams are ranked. Utah being in the top five is very interesting for them, but it's not going to last very long. I think Cal goes in there and beats them.
I'm not convinced about Cal. They had to survive an extra point failure against Texas. It's Utah in this game.
All right, I'm going with Utah as well. And all right, look, let's take a break here. We got Bama and Arkansas to talk about. We'll be right back with you. You're listening to Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone.
A ringing endorsement.
Hi, this is Eli Gold, the voice of the Crimson Tide, and I love 90.7 The Capstone.
Welcome back to Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone. It's Alabama versus Arkansas. It's 6 p.m. today at Bryant-Denny. And, George, what do you see for this?
Well, what I see here is Alabama establishes identity in the on the road. I want to see that identity maintained on the home field. I think you get into this mindset where you play a little bit close to the vest, a little conservative. I want to see Alabama be aggressive, play action, open up the passing game with the running game. I think they'll do it. I think that this is a team that's capable of now moving ahead. I'm hearing all the national pundits saying you've made Alabama mad. You said they were buried. Saban came out very strong, as he should, in the media, and said, we're not gone. And I want to see this translate to a game where Alabama, from the first minute of the first quarter, establishes identity and takes the game. And as Coach Jackie Sherrill said a few weeks ago on our show, come out fast, play hard, and win the game. And I think they will.
Yeah.
Adam?
Yeah, I hope they will. I'm not convinced that they will. Sometimes we come back out, right, and we do exactly what you said. We get conservative again, and we think, you know, we don't really need to blow this team out by 40 points or something. We're just going to go with a different game plan or something. So that's always frustrating to me, and so I'm a little worried we're going to do that. But I think we do come out, and even though Arkansas had a big win for them last week, I think that they're tough up front a little bit, maybe tougher than what we faced. But I think that we can definitely win this game by a couple touchdowns plus if we do exactly what you said and come out strong and just – stick with it. So I think that's what we're capable of, and I hope we do it at home. It should be, you know, a beautiful afternoon, evening. It's homecoming. I would love to see it, right? I would love to see a game that's fun to watch.
Yeah. A good fan game.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we'll see him play very well today. Arkansas is, you know, they're big, they're physical. I think I worry most about this in terms of Bama getting sort of beaten up out there going into A&M next week, because Arkansas is always so physical. But I think Alabama's a much better football team at this point. And, yeah, I think they'll come out and I think they'll take care of business. I think Alabama losing to Ole Miss really set this team apart in terms of their motivation now in every game I think we see them play now. I mean, I would be really surprised if they come out and look bad, but they could. I mean, it's Arkansas can make it an ugly game if you allow them to do it.
And that's, you know, I think you made a great point. And so are we looking at Texas A&M? Are we looking at keeping some players in good health? Are we looking at a 17-13 kind of back and forth game throughout the day where, you know, and I know it's obnoxious to ask for a good fan game, but sometimes, you know, you want to watch a team and feel comfortable about it from the second quarter on, not think in the third quarter and the beginning of the fourth quarter, wow, we're one score away, we're one dropped punt away, we're one fumble away, we're one just ugly misread pick away from being down to Arkansas at home.
Well, I think if Coach Saban was here, he would chastise us for trying to get style points, so to speak.
True.
Look good, and I think the object of the game is to win. Mm-hmm. You do want to dominate in all three sectors on the offense and defense and special teams. I will tell you, from my standpoint, you guys chime in on this, what I believe has emerged from the Georgia game is the youth has now come forward. Look at three guys, Minka Fitzpatrick, Calvin Ridley, and Jerron Payne.
Oh, yeah.
These are all freshmen. These are the real deal freshmen playing big time football against Georgia. If they have now realized they belong on this stage, I'm all in with the pundits. Watch out for Alabama. Yeah.
And I agree with you. I want to see play action pass, and I want to see Coker continue to throw the ball down the field because he's going to have to do that moving forward. He's going to have to do that against the next three or four really tough games that we have, and that's what we weren't really great at doing in the first few games, even when we were winning.
Yep, absolutely. All right, we all got Alabama today.
Yep.
That's
shocking, right?
Shocking.
It's very fearless.
So fearless of us.
Very fearless.
Six for six.
We're homers on homecoming today. Why not?
Right, there you go.
Okay, that'll do it for another Skybox show. To all of you traveling to the game at Bryant-Denny today, be careful on the roads coming in. We want to thank Andrew Lanningham, our great producer on the show this week. Thanks, Andrew. Really appreciate it. And also to Terry Siggers, thanks, the GM at WVUA-FM, and Melanie Veering, our great marketing intern. Thanks also to our great guests today, Rosalind Moore and Leroy Cook. Join us again next week at 10 a.m. Saturday for another edition of Skybox. You're listening to 90.7 The Capstone. Roll Tide, everyone.
Roll Tide.